And now to the future of Wisconsin's paper industry and whether it can stay nimble in a volatile wood products marketplace. Recall about a year ago, people were stripping store shelves bare of toilet paper, hoarding that and other pandemic essentials. And now we see paper mills grappling with how to convert their processes to recycled products and more packaging like shipping boxes. All that online shopping is a boon to the corrugated industry. Do you work at a mill? Maybe you're a logger. What is your outlook for the paper industry in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. Paul Fowler is director of the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology at UW-Stevens Point. Paul, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning, Kate. Glad to be back.
Good morning. We're monitoring that large fire that broke out at the idled Verso Mill in Wisconsin Rapids last night with multiple agencies responding. Of course, it's too early to know the cause, but what are you watching for?
Well, I think first and foremost is understanding that the people are safe, any folks who are in the area, but then understanding the assessment of the damage at the mill. We don't know that yet. It's early, but regardless, I think the incident will be at a level of complexity and further challenge to the tremendous efforts that are underway to transition the mill back into production.
Yeah, I mean, Verso Corporation did find a buyer for its Duluth mill just last week, ST Paper and Tissue. Do you see that there could be an option for Wisconsin Rapids?
Well, I think the consolidated cooperative has been making very strong overtures to Verso to purchase the mill. We've seen efforts in the state legislature by Governor Evers to provide loans, financial support to make the purchase a reality.
You had this detailed report about a couple years ago that stated pulp and paper is an $18 billion industry in our state, more than 30,000 workers. What is the state of the industry today?
Well, you know, the industry is, we're at a moment in time when the industry is changing really, really rapidly, like never before, I think. And so the challenge and the opportunity is how we respond to those dynamic changes. So things that are capturing the world attention and changing consumer behavior, like anti-plastic sentiment. You mentioned the growth in e-commerce, but also growth in food packaging and other high-performance functional unit packaging. Hygiene products, I mean, the tissue and towel sector is a great example of that. And then there's also this kind of mainstreaming of sustainability and circularity that we hear about, and global trade dynamics. All of those things are a sort of clarion calls for us to say, how does the industry in Wisconsin respond to all these opportunities? And so I think that you said that as very nicely as well. How does the industry stay nimble and respond, lead in those sorts of areas where there is increasing demand for fiber and paper products? So not declining demand, but changing demand and demand that is changing really quickly.
But do you see it contracting here?
Well, I mean, we see white grades like printing and writing papers contracting. That's been happening for a while. There's nothing sort of new in that. We see, and that was kind of catalyzed by the COVID pandemic as retailers and brands sort of cut down on their advertising. Whilst there's no newsprint mills in Wisconsin, we saw demand for printed newspapers decreasing as people turn to online sources of news, for example. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we saw demand for things like e-commerce, right? You mentioned the corrugate boxes, the shipping boxes increased really, really significantly. Demand for at-home tissue increased at the same time that the away from home, that's the restaurants, the hotels, and so on, declined. And so there was kind of a shift in tissue demand in terms of the different grades that are available.
I was looking over Kimberly Clark's first quarter earnings in April, and its CEO said that its first quarter results reflect a volatile and challenging environment, and it pointed to commodity inflation and commodity headwinds. Can you read the tea leaves there? What inflation are you seeing?
Well, I think we're seeing in certain tissue grades a use of recovered paper for making those grades. And as offices and institutions closed because of the pandemic, the availability of recovered paper, not corrugate, but the white grades that come out of offices and out of the schools and so on, really kind of slumped. And so there was a tightening of supply of that recovered paper, and so certain tissue towel mills were directed or had no option but other than to look at fresh or virgin fiber as part of their commodity materials, and so that sort of increased some sort of pricing in that respect.
You know, we've seen lumber prices soar, wood pulp, the cost of wood pulp is rising. What effect does that have on manufacturers, in mills here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so construction lumber, we've seen those sort of prices increase, but we haven't really seen the price of timber out of the forests increase. And that really is reflective of maybe an oversupply of pulpwood and so on. But demand for construction lumber, as folks have remodeled, as their housing market has increased, is really putting strain on sawmills that are producing those sort of construction grades of lumber. And so that's where that kind of disparity appears to come from.
Okay, so if you're a mill and you're seeing all these shifts in the industry and in your marketplace, and what is coming out of your paper mill might not be meeting what the marketplace demands are right now, what is the process like for converting your mill?
It's complicated, right? I mean, it's complicated and it's costly. And so we have examples of companies that have done that in Wisconsin. Midwest Paper, formerly Appleton Coated, converted its mill back in 2018 from making high-quality white grades to making recycled corrugate, and they're still doing that. But it takes time, it costs money. The ST Paper project in Duluth is projected to take over a year, maybe 2 years, and investments in the tens of millions of dollars. And tens of millions of dollars are really the sort of the cheaper end of the market. You're really talking about maybe hundreds of millions of dollars to do a conversion of a world scale plant.
So you're not only taking the mill out of production, you're also having to invest a whole lot of capital in order to change processes.
You're right. So there's Domtar, which has a presence in Wisconsin, and was recently acquired by Paper Excellence, a Canadian firm. They're converting a mill in Kingsport, Tennessee, from making white grade to recycled corrugate. Their budget for that is in the order of hundreds of millions, two years conversion time. And they laid off the workers who were making those white grades. And so you have this sort of 2 year hiatus at least when the mills are not producing.
We're discussing the challenges, the outlook for the paper industry here in Wisconsin with Paul Fowler. He heads up the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology at UW-Stevens Point. Do you live near a paper mill? How is it doing? Is it a good neighbor? Do you think companies take proper care of their waste? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Paul Fowler here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. We're looking at broader shifts in the paper industry, how Wisconsin is responding. Go back to 2018. This was an $18 billion industry employing more than 30,000 people at dozens of mills in our state. That was from a study by the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology led by Paul Fowler. And Paul stays with us for about 10 more minutes. You know, looking at the big companies, Georgia-Pacific, one of the largest manufacturers of pulp and paper, is set to be running its mills at full capacity, buying from smaller producers to keep up. International Paper, the nation's largest forest products company, up 2% year over year. Are smaller mills able to keep up with the huge companies?
Great question. So those companies that you mentioned are really in commodities sectors. So International Paper is essentially a corrugate manufacturer now. Georgia-Pacific, a lot of tissue, a lot of towel, as well as the sort of the forest product side of things as well. So I think that the point of differentiation for smaller companies is being very, very sort of customer-centric and using their scale, their small scale, smaller scale, to be nimble and to really produce custom products, working really closely, collaborating with their customers to develop really precisely the grades and products with the functionality that they need.
What does that mean, though, for small manufacturers who are trying to keep up with larger companies and you know, wondering, am I going to be bought out?
Yeah, so it means differentiate your products, I think, Kate. So really tune in to customers. It's kind of a fool's game, I think, to try and compete with the folks who are at the hundreds of thousands, millions of tons scale. Mm. And so mills that we've seen being successful with smaller scale assets are the ones who've differentiated their products, gotten into more specialty grades. It may be food packaging, it may be sort of industrial papers, but they've found a niche for themselves and are playing to those strengths where a smaller scale is more able to give them that sort of nimbleness that they need to be able to adjust grades quicker, to be able to make what their customers are really needing in a precise and high quality way.
Paul, how does the closure of one mill affect a community like a Wisconsin Rapids?
Well, I mean, we've seen really very, very starkly how the idling of the Verso mill impacted not just directly the 900 workers there, but also the economy of the town. Right, people don't go out to eat the same. The direct expenditures in the town are curtailed. But there's also the knock-on effects back up the supply chain as well. And we've seen organizations like the Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association speak very eloquently and loudly about the impacts of the closure of that mill on small forest landowners, on haulers, on loggers, and so on. The amount of virgin timber that the Verso Wisconsin Rapids plant processed was just huge.
So there is quite a ripple effect, I think, is what you're saying.
Absolutely, a huge ripple effect.
We're talking with Paul Fowler, director of the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology at UW-Stevens Point, as we look at the state of the pulp and paper industry, what comes next, your insights as well, 800-642-1234. We heard from Bruce and Madison called in, couldn't stay with us. Bruce was curious, Paul, on what changes UW-Stevens Point has to make in the paper engineering program to stay competitive and keep up with the changing industry.
I can't speak to the paper science department firsthand, but I can speak to it secondhand. I would say that the number of students that are educated there is pretty stable, if not slightly increasing, and the fundamentals of making paper have not changed. Right? I mean, you need engineers with excellent capabilities, and the paper science and chemical engineering program is doing exactly that. They get a broad-based education. I think understanding more about the business of paper is something that everyone in that field, particularly students, could use to know more about. Really, the global business for paper, as I said at the start of this piece, is changing really, really rapidly. And having a finger on that pulse, I think, was really helpful in terms of understanding what's on the horizon. How do we respond and position ourselves for those sorts of changes that can happen very, very quickly. So being able to horizon scan, if that's a skill set that the student has, I think it would be very, very valuable to be able to market.
What are the prospects there of exports in this industry, of the global marketplace and the competitiveness of, you know, other manufacturers in other countries?
So, in 2018, the United States as a whole was exporting recovered paper to China. So low value, but a pretty significant amount of material. And we were good at that, and China was a great customer for that material. I think the opportunity really revolves around not exporting low-grade resources, but value-added materials, so finished products or products that are ready to be converted, and so the challenge there then is really having that in-depth understanding of customer needs, cultural differences, and being able to respond to those in a really sort of quick and nimble way.
So nimble there being the word of choice, I think.
Right.
But what are you watching for now as we head out of this pandemic for what will happen to this industry?
Well, I think the sort of fundamental changes that have happened. Does everyone go back to the office as we did in sort of pre-pandemic era? What is the new focus on hygiene? How long lived will that sort of trend be, and what does that mean for paper? What about the whole sort of e-commerce space? How do we innovate our corrugate boxes in ways that reduce weight but still provide protection and allow us to pack multiple items in one box? So pre-COVID, the retail corrugate box was quite a different structure from what we have now when we have products delivered at home. We have sort of the loose fill, the void fill present within corrugate now, which was not so much of a thing pre-COVID. And so those sorts of innovations, hygiene, e-commerce, and then just a higher and higher demand for functional, high-performance packaging materials, whether it be for food or electronics and consumer goods and so on. I think there's a lot of scope there.
Paul, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you are very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Paul Fowler, director of the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology at UW Stevens Point. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.